With Amex Gold, you can experience the gold standard. You get access to exceptional dining, plus 4x membership rewards points on eligible dining purchases. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Cap applies. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
This is the Freddie and Harry podcast on ESPN Radio.
And welcome to the best show on your radio. You know it better as Freddie and Harry. He is Harry Douglas. I'm Freddie Coleman. You put us together. We are presented by Progressive Insurance on the ESPN app. SiriusXM Channel 80. Don't forget about us and tune in. And always tell your smart speaker to play ESPN Radio. 10 minutes away from finding out exactly what was the best game that you played growing up as a kid. It could have been hopscotch, it could have been checkers, it could have been anything. But what was the game that was the best for you growing up as a kid? We're going to hear what you have to say in about 10 minutes at 888-SAY-ESPN. That is 888-729-3776. So you got two teams after last night. They went 0-2, feeling good about maybe being 1-2. Coming out, they're feeling even worse at 0-3. That's the Jacksonville Jaguars, who got destroyed by the Buffalo Bills, and the Cincinnati Bengals, who got outplayed and outscored by the Washington Commanders, 38-33. Before I ask Harry Douglas, in terms of who's more done being 0-3 when it comes to Jacksonville or the Cincinnati Bengals, Trevor Lawrence of the Jacksonville Jaguars, he's at a loss for words why his team is 0-3 no matter who is to blame.
You know, it's just one of those times where we don't have any momentum. You know, it seems like everyone takes their turn on making a bad play at the wrong time, including myself. Seems really difficult to go forward. Can't find that rhythm right now, and we all have our share in it, and it takes us making the plays out there. You know, players play, coaches coach, and when we step on the field, we got to make the plays, and so we have to take all the accountability, all the criticism, all the scrutiny, because we're not doing that right now, and that's our job. We got to make the plays. It's that simple. You know, it's hard, but it's not that hard. We made it look really, really hard today, and we're a lot better than that.
On the other side, Joe Burrow, the Cincinnati Bengals, 0-3. He says, man, this has been the pattern why we're 0-3.
The common denominator from the first 3 weeks, we've had opportunities and didn't cash in on those. So whatever we got to do to get better this week so we can come back on Sunday and, you know, execute in the spots and get better in the spots that we need to is what we're going to do.
All right, Harry, 0-3, these two teams are. Jacksonville on one side, Cincinnati the other side. It's panic time for both. But who's more done at 0-3? Is it the boys from Duval or the boys from OHIO?
For me, I'm going to go with the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Okay.
I really am because, number one, at the most prestige position, which is the quarterback position, right?
Yeah.
You don't see a non-confident Joe Burrow. And although Joe Burrow was fantastic last night, I do believe with Dan Orlovsky, they're going to have to start to get this run game going a little bit more so they can be more balanced offensively and not just rely on Joe Burrow 24-7, 99.9% of the time, in my opinion. But I would also say this, when I look at Trevor Lawrence and the Jaguars, there's no confidence from the quarterback position. There are guys making mistakes left and right. But also Doug Peterson, in hearing his snippet of him saying that Trevor's probably down right now, and so was he. And I thought that was one of the worst things that he could say as a leader of the Jaguars, as the head coach, also trying to find something to hang their hat on in a positive direction for this team.
Okay.
Because I don't think they are fully recovered from going 8-3 last year and faltering down the stretch. So at some point, you're hoping and you're praying if you're Doug Peterson and you're trying to soul search for the answers to be able to get your ball club in a position to where they can win a football game and see where it goes from there if you can just get one.
Mm-hmm.
When I look at Cincinnati, this is a team that has DNA. Jacksonville doesn't have DNA. And even though that DNA, according to a lot of people, is running out, it's still there and you still have players carried over from good times that they've had in Cincinnati over the last 4 years.
Well, Cincinnati DNA stands for defense not available, because we saw that last time in the Cincinnati Bengals. That's the wrong kind of DNA that they have right now. Defense not available. Ask Jaden Daniels and what they were able to do.
You almost made me choke with that one, Fred.
You put it out there. That was the first thing that popped into my mind about the Bengals DNA. Not saying you're wrong about Joe Burrow, because he's always going to be a confident guy. But when you've had your worst start since dropping the first 11 games, when you finished 2-14 as an organization back in 2019. In modern NFL, 0-3, not saying it's a death knell, but boy, it feels like it. Especially your team coming in, that plenty of people, I'll raise my hand, I'll say, man, if that team is going to be right, if Joe Burrow is going to be healthy, that's a team that believes they can take down Kansas City, which means they believe they can take them down because they've done it before. They won three out of the first four, the last four meetings before they lost this year in the regular season. They lost at the buzzer when Harrison Butker kicked that field goal. I guarantee you they win the last night's game believing, man, we found ourselves. We lost to Kansas City. We believe that game was taken from us. Now we're ready for the Washington Commanders. And he went out there and they were not ready for Jaden Daniels. So if you're the Cincinnati Bengals, any margin of error that you might have had going into last night's game has been completely eroded. I still wonder if they have enough in them. Not Joe Burrow, but that defense or that swagger that has not been there, that was really a part of their DNA, why they were so successful no matter who they played, Kansas City, anybody else, especially when Joe Burrow was in the lineup. I think it's more along the lines, I think it's a more done situation for Cincinnati because we thought a lot more of them coming into a loaded AFC than we did Jacksonville when the season first got started.
But I think for both of these teams, I think it's as simple as you got to get the first one, right? You got to get the win.
Right.
And
sure.
I think the challenge in doing that for the Jacksonville Jaguars is steeper than the Cincinnati Bengals. They have the Houston Texans next, who just got boat raced by the Minnesota Vikings, and they're looking to go 3-1 on the year after losing that matchup in a deciding factor to Sam Darnold and company.
They're going
to
be ornery.
Yeah, 100%. And then when I look at Cincinnati, you have the Carolina Panthers who they're playing, who just came off a win. But is Carolina just satisfied because they got one, right? Because they're in unfamiliar territory, because it's not like they've won many games over the last few years. And when you think about the Cincinnati Bengals, it's do or die right now. You can't go 0-4, so I think they're going to be hungry. I think also if I'm Zach Taylor in practice this week, I'm making things extremely difficult for everybody, but especially my damn defense.
I mean,
there's going to be a lot of ones on ones, and it doesn't have to be tackling,
right?
But I want great on great. I want good on good. And that's something has to change within practice. If you're not getting the wins, then as a head coach for Zach Taylor, then you got to start doing something different. Now you still got to have your sessions where you have the scout team or whatnot because they have the cards and you got to prepare for the game.
Yeah.
But there are certain periods
that
we're going ones on ones.
Right. What do you make of Joe Burrow and Zach Taylor after the game was over last night going into the coach's office before they met with the media? Because all the reporters saw those two. Everybody goes to the locker room. Those two, the coach and player, Zach Taylor and Joe Burrow, they veer to the coach's office. Then they come out of that. It didn't look like there were any long faces or any red faces from being angry. But I just found that very interesting. Literally minutes after that game was over, and the coach and quarterback had a meeting in the coach's office.
Joe, this is your team. Keep the band together.
Okay.
We're not going to finger point. Everybody in the media is going to start doing that because we're 0-3.
Right.
We can't finger point in this locker room. And I love the interview that Ja'Marr Chase did, right? I thought it was good. Like, talked about, hey, we just got to come back from it. We got to get us a win in that whole nine. And it didn't seem like his spirits were down.
Right.
That's different from what I've seen interview-wise for the Dallas Cowboys.
Right, exactly.
I think that's one of the things Zach Taylor is trying to eliminate along with Joe Burrow. Hey, let's not be the Dallas Cowboys because they just got mud stumped and they feel like the right thing to do as an organization is to go tell everybody in the media in the world. Let's keep things in-house. Figure out what we can do better as a team collectively, right?
Yeah.
All three phases, offense, defense, and special teams. Mm-hmm. Let's go out and practice this week and work on that and get a win. It starts with one. You can't have two, three, four, or five wins if you don't have one.
Yeah.
You got to get the one before you can get the two.
My message to them, if I'm Zach Taylor, is that, guys, we're not that far away. We're a pass interference penalty from taking out Kansas City, and we had a bad defense tonight, but let's give credit to Jaden Daniels, 21-23. The highest completion percentage in an NFL game for a rookie ever in the history of the National Football League. He made plays, and when he had to make a play, we forced him to, and he made those kind of plays. We're not far away from being where we know we should be, even though right now we're looking way up at the Pittsburgh Steelers, who are 3-0 and leading that AFC North. Cincinnati, that would be my message. Guys, we're not that far away. But if we don't put it together sooner than later, then we're going to be playing for 2025 because 2024 is going to be said and done.
And I think Zach Taylor has to be intentional and saying to his guys, and they know this, but I'll be intentional as a head coach, that, hey, our margin for error is thin. Right now, we're holding on by a shoestring. We know what the statistics are when a team starts 0-3.
Yeah.
But don't fall for the rat poison. Don't fall for the banana in the tailpipe. That doesn't mean you have to, 2024 Bengals, have to be one of those teams that have not had the ability to make the playoffs after starting 0-3. Take it one at a time. You can't look ahead. It has to be week by week.
Harry Douglas, Freddie Coleman together on Freddie and Harry, presented by Progressive Insurance on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80, as well as tune in. And don't forget to tell your smart speaker to play ESPN Radio. Protect the stuff you love with Renters Insurance. You can do that and have that protection courtesy of Progressive.com.
You heard from us.
I love talking.
Now it's your turn to weigh in.
Hello, you're on the air.
1-888-SAY-ESPN.
Hello?
1-888-729-3776.
First things first, don't blame me. I tried to get a board game, part of our selection committee, for the best games you played growing up. I tried with Monopoly. I almost tried to slide checkers in there, but nope, the selection committee, omnipotent. Not Harry Douglas, he tried as well, but the main perpetrators who shall remain nameless, Shannon Penn and Devin Kent, our producers, those two are the reasons why these are the top six games of the best games you played growing up.
I think it's one person you should.
Oh, just Devin Kane?
Yep.
Okay, Devin Kane is going to be the villain of the piece.
Now, why is that? Tell me why. I want to know specifically why.
Your manhunt won at number one because you had Christine Lisi on your side. We had Uno at number two.
You know why.
Your kick the can made number three because Christine Lisi was on your side because there were three different answers. Mm. Number four was 21 meaning a basketball game. Number five, spades the card game. And you agreed with Shannon Penn and also Harry Douglas. And number six was racing. So you literally had a hand in three of these games, in which two of those games were able to have a vote on your side against potential board games like Monopoly, mm-hmm. checkers, backgammon.
Two of them
chess,
I never even heard of.
Yeah, shoots and ladders. You almost tried to slide sardines in.
I know what's going on here.
I know what's going on here, too.
Yeah.
Two Americas. Yeah.
You are so
the
wrong.
The truth shall set you free.
You are so wrong, but so well done by that. Great Reburnal by Devin Kane. So that's our top six games, part of our Freddie and Harry selection committee. What was the best game you played growing up? Let us know right now. 888-SAY-ESPN. That is 888-729-3776. On the Dr. Pepper call-in line, one of our favorites, it's Eazy-E, Eric in New York. E. Dizzle, what was the best game you played growing up?
First of all, Freddie, how you doing, brother?
Trying to hang in there with my Cowboys, but at least my Jets won, so I'm one for one.
Okay, Harry, what's up, brother?
What's up, E. Dizzle? Big game on Thursday night. Big game.
Yeah, man.
Oh, yeah, yes, indeed. Yeah, Freddie, you may be familiar. You remember August Martin High School?
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, we used to play stickball, and we used to put the batter's box on the handball ball.
Oh, yeah.
And we used to put a stickball.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Absolutely.
And that was a favorite because it could just be two people or, you know, have more people in. And we used to love to play touch football in the street.
Man.
And that was a big thing, and we played – you know, sunny, rainy, even when the snow came. And I'm talking about real snow, not that dandruff that you get down south. I'm talking about real snow up here, you know.
Yeah, not that flaky.
You tackle in the streets.
Yeah, not that flaky snow that Harry Douglas tries to say that they get when it comes to snow in Atlanta, Georgia, or the state of Georgia. Not there. By the way, I love this run with the stickball one because you would go to a schoolyard and you would play against the wall and you would draw the strike box. So all you needed was two people because you beat a pitcher. And your opponent would be the hitter, could be your best friend. You play three outs and everything. Ball, if anything outside the box was a ball, anything inside the box is a strike. So you could do that. Two-man stickball. That's like news to you, isn't it? But you got some evil to say in your brain,
no,
don't you?
No, not at all. Big game Thursday night.
Okay, that's not what you were going to say. That was not what was taking place in your cranium. One of our other favorites is Derek in Virginia. Derek, what was the best game you played growing up?
Hey, guys, what's going on?
What's going on?
Harry, I just want to let you know my windshield wipers are not on today because last time you were concerned and I thought I embarrassed my mama on the air, root toot tooting on the air. I had me questioning myself for a second there. So I'm good there. Now, I can't believe that you guys did not come up with Foursquare, Butts Up, or Dominoes. I mean, come on. Especially Butts Up. Yeah. I mean, we didn't do board games, Freddie, because we were poor. And my mama didn't want us in the house. She didn't want us in the house until dinner time. So she said, go on outside.
Go on now.
I mean, Butts out was the thing.
Explain that, because I don't know a lot. I don't think a lot of people know what butts up, butts out, whichever one it is.
Butts up. What that means.
Excuse me.
So butts up. So usually we'd go to the school, right? Because they had those nice brick walls. Mm-hmm. Okay. And then some people would use a tennis ball, but a tennis ball would be slow. So sometimes you get a racket ball. Okay. And you get a line of guys, and one guy would throw it up against the wall and it would bounce, and you have to catch it solid. If you bobbled it or whatever, you had to run to the wall. If somebody threw the ball and hit the wall before you got there, then that person who got you would get a chance to spot you with the ball. You'd have to stand on the wall with your hands on the wall, mm-hmm. with your butt out,
yep.
and they would get a chance to throw the ball, mm-hmm. and spot you wherever they wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why we used to use a racquetball, because it would come out faster, it would come out harder, and when you would get hit with the ball, ooh, man, oof.
Oh, so Shannon, that's just like if you're trying to pledge, right, in the fraternity. Like,
absolutely.
We're talking about wall ball, right?
Yeah.
We're talking about wall ball. We're not going to discuss that mixture in company right now. We're going to dismiss that one.
Oh, really?
Okay. My bad.
All of a sudden, Shannon's got nothing to say?
No. Well, he's the only one in the fraternity, you know? So I was just.
Wait a minute, I'm an Alpha Chi Rho brother.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I'm an Alpha Chi Rho brother. I'm a proud Black Crow. Absolutely.
Okay, my bad. My apologies.
Yeah, that's not your fault. I had not disclosed this information.
Yeah, we never
so
do that.
I can't blame you for that as far as that goes. I'd like to, but that'd be wrong if I did something like that. So I'm not going to blame you for
so
that.
So if you drop the ball, mm-hmm. like you got to stand on the wall.
Uh-huh, and they would aim the ball at your backside.
Wow.
Mm-hmm, exactly. Mm-hmm. Mm. That's why Shannon's having flashbacks.
Not my game.
No, that's why I never wanted to be a part of that as well. Trey in South Carolina, what was the best game you played growing up, my friend?
Well, I said Monopoly, but that's kind of boring. I want to change my answer.
Go ahead.
My favorite game was watching the Dallas Cowboys with a real quarterback when they used to have Troy Aikman.
Oh, wow.
Oh, man. Hold on a second. Oh, let me take the knife off my back on that one. Oh.
Trey said, I'm going to switch from Monopoly, exactly. and I'm going to take shots at the Cowboys.
Oh, my goodness. And see, that's a Cowboys fan saying that, because that was the last time the Cowboys were a championship team, when they had Troy Aikman, Michael Irvin, Emmitt Smith, that offensive line, the late Larry Allen, God rest his soul, a bunch of those fast guys on defense, Jimmy Johnson putting that whole thing together. So mm-hmm. I can understand why Trey in South Carolina feels that about the Dallas Cowboys. One of our other favorites, Roy the truck driver. I know Harry can't wait to get on him a little bit. Big old Roy, what is the best game you played growing up, my friend?
Man. Okay, I'm gonna tear that horn up. Listen. Now, Freddie, you'll know these games, but Harry's too young. I can't believe that nobody said nothing about truth or dare and spin the bottle.
Uh-huh.
Come on now.
Uh-huh. Spin the bottle.
Uh-huh.
Because we know how those two usually end up.
Yeah, exactly.
Roy.
Yeah, we can have, you know, four guys and four girls spinning that bottle
mm-hmm.
and playing truth or dare. Man, look out. We're about to find out something.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, I'm there every time, Roy. Hey, dare.
You literally could have been both. I'm sure there was some truth to your dare. You could have literally been both. Seriously.
What are we about to find out? What are you talking about?
Exactly. Enlighten the class when it comes to that. All about that dare.
Go ahead,
enlighten
Harry,
the class.
You know, just boy, a little fun with
boy,
friends.
Boy, Devin, you really got him. His smile got so much wider because he was trying to dance around to make sure he didn't actually tell the truth.
Just a little fun with friends, that's all. Truth or dare? Dare.
Are you
going to choose truth? No, dare.
You had your friends, and they had their friends, and everybody could be friends when it came to that. Danny in Texas. I bet you were the dare meister when it comes to you. Danny in Texas, what was the best game you played growing up?
What's up, fellas? Y'all wild today. Y'all are a trip today. This ain't funny. It's crazy. All y'all got something going on. Get back in the car. Get back in the car, guys. Hey, before I say real fast, I just want to say, Freddie.
Yes, sir.
As a Cowboys fan myself,
mm-hmm.
if the Giants do beat our Cowboys on Thursday,
uh-huh.
I have a feeling Shannon and Devin may have like this big grin on their face on Friday to the point to where you may not want to come to work on Friday.
Oh, I've already said it, Danny. If they win, my team loses, I'm calling in sick on Friday. I will not be here for Football Friday. I can promise you.
Danny, I promise you, it'll be a show that you do not want to miss.
I agreed.
If the Giants beat the Cowboys on Thursday night.
I'm not going to punk out, Danny. I'll show up if that
happens.
I'm not going to punk out.
I'm going to be here if they if the Giants lose. I'll still be here. Good I ain't afraid. I ain't afraid to face the music.
Good for you. Fantastic. So, Danny, what was the best game you played growing up? Oh, he's gone? Oh, we got to get Danny. Oh, Danny, what's the best game you played growing up, my man?
It's street football.
Everybody loves street football. I don't care where you were. I don't care what state it is. Anything that had concrete and cars around, that was the football field, depending on where you lived at.
There's so many memories, like, you know, growing up tailgating, going to football games with my father and, you know, playing two-hand touch in the street or whatnot or wherever we were tailgating at. Me and my brother, who's my best friend, man. So, yeah, a lot of memories.
See, those would always end up in the same way, though. It's supposed to be two-hand touch. Someone would take a shot.
Always one.
And then there's a little bit of a brouhaha.
Always one. I'll never forget the first year that my mom and dad moved to Hollis, Queens in New York. And we're playing street football, touch football in the street. And there's always, and we all know this, Devin, Shannon, Harry, me. There's always that one knucklehead kid in your neighborhood that thinks he's tougher than what he is. So I make this catch down the left curb. One-handed catch, too. I'm going down there, and this fool, whose job name nameless, Anthony, he's probably in jail, shoulder blasts me onto the sidewalk and everything like that, right? So my mom and dad are watching this from the window, and my dad's about to go out there, and my mom's about to go out there and get some judges. Dad's on hold. They let him figure it out. So he's, like, standing over me, and I look up at him. I scored the touchdown, by the way, and I rifled that ball right between his eyes. I said, fool, you ever hit me in two-hand touch in street football, man, it's going to be me and you. And so they separate us and all this other nonsense and everything. And his older brother's on the stoop going like this, shaking his head, going, I said, you're not surprised? He goes, my brother's a knucklehead. I'm not surprised he did that.
Freddie, why is he probably in jail?
Oh, he had been a few detention centers before that incident.
He's a true knucklehead.
He was completely on his way as far as that goes. We got to bring in a special guest. Shannon's beautiful wife, Yamina. She wants to weigh in about the best game she played growing up. Mrs. Penn, the floor is yours, young lady.
Hi, can you hear me?
We got you.
Wonderful. So I was calling in to talk about our kickball. Shannon and I knew each other probably since about the age of 8 or 9 years old. And we used to play kickball in the front yard. We made up our own bases. Like, you know, the tree was first base. If you kicked it, you know, past the well house because we were in the country, that was a home run. And, you know, Shannon can tell you essentially that I used to run. I used to run it out there. I was the fastest, even with no shoes, walking, running in barefoot. Like, he couldn't do anything with me, pretty much.
Wow.
Oh, trust me. We knew that part. Exactly. The best athlete in the house is Mrs. Ben.
Stop trying to make points on every female that's connected with this show. Is it really panic time for the Bengals? That's next on Freddie and Harry on ESPN Radio.
The Freddie and Harry Podcast.
In the world of football, one name stands above the rest. Nick Saban, a legend known for building dynasties on the gridiron. And in the world of interior paint, Bear Dynasty is a legend in its own right. It's the best of Bear, with everything you want in a paint, all in one can. And it's available exclusively at the Home Depot. Just like Nick Saban's powerhouse defense, Bear Dynasty defends your walls with unmatched stain repellency and scuff resistance. And with one coat coverage, you'll be able to complete your painting project and bask in your team's colors before kickoff. Defend your walls and your game time with Bear Dynasty interior paint at the Home Depot. How doers get more done. Valid only when tinted to colors from the Bear Dynasty and Marquee Interior One Coat Hide Color Collection.
Bombas makes the most comfortable socks, underwear, and T-shirts.
Warning, Bombas are so absurdly comfortable you may throw out all your other clothes.
Sorry, do we legally have to say that?
No, this is just how I talk, and I really love my Bombas.
They do feel that good, and they do good, too. One item purchased equals one item donated.
To feel good and do good, go to bombas.com/ESPN pod and use code ESPNPOD for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ESPNPOD and use code ESPNPOD at checkout.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front payment equivalent to $15 per month. New customers on first 3-month plan only. Taxes and fees extra. Speeds slower above 40 gigabytes in detail.
He's Harry Douglas. I'm Freddie Coleman. Together we are Freddie and Harry. Presented by Progressive Insurance on Sirius XM Channel 80. Don't forget about us and tune in. And also that smart speaker of yours to play ESPN Radio. If you miss any Freddie and Harry, do yourself a favor. Don't miss any more by catching up on all 4 hours of the show and the Freddie and Harry podcast, available daily wherever you get your podcasts. So we can't wait to talk about a little Bengals football. 0-3 to start the season. They're not that far away, but they're still 0-3. He's an FOS friend of the show. He's the fantastic Mo Egger from ESPN 1530 in Cincinnati. Also a great follow on Twitter at Mo Egger. Before, Mo, we get to the Cincinnati Bengals and what can they do to right the wrongs of losing their first three games of the 2024 season. We had a selection committee about the best game that people played growing up. Our top six were, in order, Manhunt was one, Uno the card game number two, Kick the Can number three, 21 the basketball game number four, Spades number five the card game, and Just Racing number six. So Mo Egger, as young Mo growing up, what was the best game you played?
Wiffle ball.
Attaboy.
Right?
Yeah, there
I
we
mean,
go.
I, you know, I grew up in a neighborhood where we had the most competitive wiffle ball games of all time. I don't think I've been in an environment as competitive in my life as we had in Monmouth County, New Jersey, when I was 10, 11 years old, just playing wiffle ball every single day. So there are a lot. I mean, a 21 in basketball, I'm not sure kids played that anymore. I'm not sure if, like, I got, like, four kids in my neighborhood now together and said we're going to play 21, they would know what I'm talking about. But I was a heck of a wiffle ball pitcher back in the day. I don't know that I can make the ball move now. I'd probably hurt my arm. But, yeah, I think back to being a kid, wiffle ball all day.
So cool, and also so sad that these kids don't know what 21 is.
Amen.
But Mo, regarding the Cincinnati Bengals, in your opinion, like, what is the main reason why they're 0-3 currently right now?
You know, the thing is, I don't think there's any one thing, right? If you look at the three games, they all sort of unfolded differently. Game one, it was offense in a phone booth, Joe Burrow not looking comfortable, not throwing the ball downfield, not having T. Higgins. Game two, it was, well, they outplayed the Chiefs, but there were one or two plays they couldn't finish on both sides of the ball. Multiple opportunities in the fourth quarter to extend their lead that they couldn't capitalize. But, you know, you could kind of walk away from that game going, all right, Joe's back. They were there toe-to-toe with the defending champs. Last night, they didn't punt. They never turned it over, and they lost at home. And they lost at home, which that in itself is bad. It's even worse when you're 0-3. I think the sobering thing was the ease with which the Washington Commanders moved the football. I will not take anything away from Jaden Daniels because he was terrific last night. Let's face it, it wasn't like they were exactly reinventing offensive football. They were lining up, punching the Bengals in the mouth, as cliche as that sounds. I mean, late in the third quarter, the Commanders had more touchdowns than offensive third downs.
Yeah.
They were killing Cincinnati on first and second down. Their longest third down until the last drive, I think, was a third and one. So it's a lot of different issues. I think that's the one that's got to be examined more than anything, right? You feel like where the Bengals are offensively, they're going to be okay. T. Higgins is back. They have an okay offensive line. We know what Joe Burrow can do. That unit played fine last night. This defense, we went into the season hoping they could be league average.
Mm-hmm.
But what I saw last night wasn't a unit that can do that. So they've got a lot to figure out on that side of the football. And I don't know that there's any, you know, it's not like there's a hurt guy that's going to come back or, you know, they're working this guy into the mix. And I don't know if you look at him on defense, who you're worried about wrecking your game plan, with the exception of Trey Hendrickson, who Washington simply double-teamed last night and took him out of the game.
Yeah, it's never good for your defense when the opposing quarterback has more touchdowns, three, than incompletions, two, which is what Jaden Daniels did to that Bengals defense last night. Mo Egger from ESPN 1530 in Cincinnati on Freddie and Harry on ESPN Radio. If I give you five being the top, one being the bottom, what is the level of panic in Cincinnati regarding this team?
I'll say four. I think people here will still defer to a degree. They've got a recent track record of overcoming slow starts. You know, they were 1-3 last year, and they still finished with a winning record despite not having Joe Burrow the last half of the season. 2 years ago, they were 4-4 at the midway point, never lost a game again in the regular season, made the AFC championship game. The AFC North, doesn't seem top to bottom as strong as maybe we thought it was going to be. They still have a reasonably forgiving schedule. But look, we know the numbers. Mm-hmm. In the 2000s, one team has made the postseason after starting 0-3. The defense, which we thought was going to be an issue, was a train wreck last night. And you know, as much as we've talked about, well, they've been 0-2 before, and they figure it out, and, you know, okay, they're get things back on track. At 0-3, you're on the doorstep of starting 0-4, and then, you know, you really can't put the toothpaste back in the tube. So I think there's a fair amount of concern. I think there's a fair amount of real legitimate concern. I also think there's a lot of second-guessing about some of the decisions this franchise has made, both with players they have chosen to keep, players they have chosen to draft, and then also players they have chosen to let walk.
What's the biggest question that you second-guess the decision based on you?
What I would look back at is, if there's anyone, not fortifying the defensive tackle position more than they did. Because last year they were bad against the run. They had DJ Reader. Well, they let DJ Reader walk, and they might have had good reason. He was hurt last year toward the end. But they brought in Eldon Rankins, not known as a great run stopper, and then sort of said, well, we'll draft a couple of guys on day two and hope that Chris Jenkins and McKinley Jackson can step in and help us be better in an area where we were terrible last year. They were the worst defense in the National Football League in opposing yards per carry. Wow. And they really didn't go overboard to rectify that. There are a lot of different things. I mean, we could talk about what they've done and not done with Jamar, what they've done and not done with T. Higgins, letting Joe Mixon go, trading him away, letting Jesse Bates walk and do what he's doing with the Atlanta Falcons. But I spent a lot of time this offseason going, are we sure they have fixed the run defense? And I hate to say that I might have been right, but I'm not sure they fixed the run defense.
Yeah, you're 100% right. Let me ask you this. If this football team doesn't seem to get it together this entire season, and then they find themselves with a losing record, is Zach Taylor, the head coach of the Cincinnati Bengals, looking over his shoulder about his job?
My guess is no. You know, remember, this is the Cincinnati Bengals, right? Mm-hmm. So Marvin Lewis was here for 16 years, and Marvin did a lot of good here. Marvin had exactly zero playoff wins. Zach Taylor has five. So, you know, the organization that gives everybody a long time is probably going to give the head coach who's won five playoff games even longer. I don't know that I would so much worry about him. I do think it's fair to look at the rest of the staff.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, the Bengals have fired coordinators in season before. That obviously hasn't happened with this regime, but they did so with Terrell Austin, defensive coordinator in 2018. They did so with an offensive coordinator in Ken Zampezi in 2017. I think the X factor in the entire discussion is, if Joe Burrow were to go to management and say, I want a new head coach, guess what? They're getting a new head coach. I don't think that's on Joe's radar. I think he's much more focused on, what do I got to do to overcome a defense that can't stop anybody in the short term? But look, the expectations for this season have been massive.
Yeah.
Obviously, they've gotten off to a terrible start. If it starts to really turn out poorly, and we start to see some of the things that often happen when a team is going through a miserable season, things that haven't happened here in quite a while, it's gonna sharpen the focus on the head coach in ways that we haven't seen here in quite a while.
All right, Mr. Wiffle Ball Hall of Famer. Always appreciate you, Mo. We'll talk to you soon and keep the faith, okay?
You got it. Thanks, guys.
Great stuff by Mo Egger, an FOS friend of the show from ESPN 1530 in Cincinnati. Great follow on Twitter at Mo Egger. So keep weighing in. What was the best game you played growing up? Our selection committee involving me, Harry Douglas, along with Shannon Penn and Devin Kane. We had Manhunt number one, Uno number two, Kick the Can number three, 21 the basketball game number four, Space the Car game number five, and Racing Just Running number six. What was the best game you played growing up? 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. You get a chance to take over Freddie and Harry after Harry gives you this word from Depend.
Sports fans, listen up. 1 in 8 men will be diagnosed with prostate cancer, and bladder leaks can be a side effect. That's why Depend is teaming up with the Prostate Cancer Foundation to encourage screening, because health is a long game, and it's yours to also win. Now, here's the cool part. Through November, Depend is contributing up to $300,000 to prostate cancer research by donating 40 cents for every purchase of Shields, Guards, and Real Fit products. Void in Mississippi. Learn more at Depend.com.
The Freddie and Harry Podcast.
BetMGM presents Upping the Action with Jamie Foxx.
Yo, hockey's here, and it's colder than ice, like cold, cold. But with BetMGM, I can heat the game up with overs, unders, parlays, and money lines, all from the comfort of my 102-degree hot tub. Now I'm really putting fire on the ice. This hockey season, download the BetMGM app.
And get up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win.
BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. U.S. promotional offers not available in Nevada, New York, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. for New York. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY. Or text HOPE-NY 467-369. Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. Puerto Rico, call 1-800-981-0023. West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. First bet offer for new customers only, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Finding the right employee for your company is tough. One wrong hire can be a major setback. You're not alone if you face this. A recent survey by Robert Half shows nearly half of hiring managers readily admit to making a bad hire. Luckily, there's a solution. With Robert Half's specialized recruiter's experience, combined with our award-winning AI, you can have the right skilled professional in place quickly. We understand what it takes to build winning teams because at Robert Half, we know talent. Discover how we can help at roberthalf.com/talent.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like UNTUCKit or Allbirds, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business making selling, and for shoppers, buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling, on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout UNTUCKit uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/network.
He's Harry Douglas. I'm Freddie Coleman. We are Freddie and Harry. Thanks for joining our Electric Circus on Sirius XM Channel 80. Don't forget about us and tune in and always tell that smart speaker of yours to play ESPN Radio. So what was the best game you played growing up? Let's find out.
You heard from us.
I love talking.
Now it's your turn to weigh in.
Hello, you're on the air.
1-888-SAY-ESPN.
Hello? Hello?
1-888-729-3776.
We had our selection committee. Manhunt was one. The card game Uno was two. Kick the Can was three. 21, the basketball game where you played a 21, number four. Spades, the card game. The Brothers version of Hearts was number five. And just running and racing, that was number six. What was the best game you played growing up? Let's hear from you. Like Dana and Richmond, one of our favorites. Brother Dana, what was the best game you played growing up, my man?
Hats off, Fred. What's up, HD?
What's going on?
Hey, when y'all said 21, I thought somebody was going to say it. I didn't play it, but I used to love to be in the playground when they did play it, because it hurt. I won so much money off this game around the world. Man, my brother used to shoot that thing. Man, I bought a pair of Jordans winning money off around the world. That's my favorite game, and I ain't never played it, but I won plenty of money for it.
Yeah, around the world is for them sharpshooters, man.
Absolutely, yeah. You could find out who could shoot and who could not. No play around the world. Anytime a guy would show me, you said, yep, not playing around the world against that guy. Look, one time in the park, growing up in Brooklyn, New York, my aunt Marilyn played around the world as the female and beat everybody in the park.
Sharpshooter.
Yeah, exactly. They told her, why don't you take your aunt home, man? I said, she a grown woman. She can go wherever she wants. She brought me here.
And look, she was probably hitting them on them double rims, too. You know, oh, you're a sharpshooter. You can make jump shots on them double rims.
All you heard were, whoosh, 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 the ball going through the net. No. Right through in a double rim. It wasn't a true shot. That double rim did not play favorites as far as that goes. One of our other favorites is Art in North Carolina. Art, what was your best game? What was the best game you played growing up?
Well, of course, nobody says Skelly again, but that's not the game. No, this was an actual board game. It's called Strat-O-Matic Baseball.
We going old school. old school. Wow.
Oh, yeah. I'm actually surprised somebody actually knows about it because it's not a game that everybody knows about. But yeah. I used to love to play that because I had the 83 Yankees and the 84 Tigers.
You should see the look on Harry's and face right now. Like, seriously.
What year? You said the 83 Yankees?
83 Yankees and the 84 Tigers.
Yeah. That was the original fantasy game because you basically played numbers versus numbers when it came to that in Strat-O-Matic baseball. That was like the original fantasy game was that one.
Yeah, I was born, 84.
Yeah, I mean, you get a pair of dice, you roll it, and that would be how you play the game. Seriously.
Oh, if it involves dice? Well, that's all you should have said, Freddie.
I'm sorry, Grits and Gravy from Kansas City. My bad.
Dice? That's all you should have said for me.
My bad. Brian in North Carolina, what was the best game you played growing up?
Hey, how about two in a row, fellas? North Carolina, come on and raise up.
Yeah, that's true.
Listen, guys. Uh-huh. Listen to this game. Okay. There was nothing like when the Jodas boys would go in the backyard and play lawn darts. Do you even know about the chaos that would ensue? No rings, throw the dart in the air, and just run.
Oh, wow.
Jeez. Wow, okay. Lawn darts, that was not for faint of heart, man.
Yeah.
That was not.
Can I say something real quick?
Have at it, please, Devin.
To Americas.
Yeah. We weren't playing that in the Coleman household growing up in Brooklyn, New York, and then in Queens, New York.
That sounds like something I get into. The lawn dart.
Sure does, Dale.
With a side of sardines.
And a candy kit.
on a particular manhunt.
Of course. One last one from Orlando in Florida. Orlando, was the best game you played growing up?
Listen, I know this one ain't going to make it because you got to be a senior citizen to be on this voting board.
Okay.
Uh-oh.
Up in when I was born in Newark, New Jersey,
okay,
somebody would steal a piece of chalk from the teacher, and you would go home and get a Clorox top off the bottle. Your mother would be wondering where the bar of soap was. And so you would carve the top into the bar of soap, and you go downstairs, and we call it tops. Where you would put 10 boxes in the sidewalk, and that was our game.
I've never heard of that game before.
No, me either.
That's pretty creative. I mean, granted, you know, you're going to, you know, no bleach and no soap. That could be a dirty situation.
Well, see, I'm trying to figure out the object.
I guess creativity. I guess that's the object when it comes to creativity. Wow. Great stuff by everybody with the best game you played growing up. Thanks for joining us on Freddie and Harry on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
They may not be the top stories of the day.
In other news.
But you need to be in the know. This is In Other News.
Do you live in the rudest city in the country? You may have contributed to the rudest city in the country. Well, according to the website newser.com, these are the 10 cities that are the rudest cities in America. I'm going to start with number 10 for you, Harry Douglas. Number 10, Charlotte, North Carolina. I know, that's what I said. My daughter lives in Charlotte.
They say that's a rude city?
The 10th rudest city in the country, according to Preply. Long Beach, California, number 9, the LBC. Las Vegas, number 8. Memphis, Tennessee, number 7.
Orange Mile.
Yes. Boston, number 6. I'm surprised that's not higher, honestly. Oakland, California, number 5. You're not going to like number 4. It's not Atlanta, Georgia. It's Louisville, Kentucky.
No. No way. Get them off the list.
I can't.
They are not rude in Louisville, Kentucky.
The list is omnipotent as far as that goes. Number 3, Tampa, Florida. I'm not buying that one.
No, me either.
I have relatives in Tampa, St.
Pete. I was born
there. Yeah, exactly. You would know. Number 2, Philadelphia.
Makes perfect sense.
It does make perfect sense. Sorry, Philly fans. But the rudest city, according to Preply, the website, Miami, Florida.
No way, Jose. Miami is not rude to me. It might be rude to a lot of households. Might be ruining a lot of households.
I bet it is. Either way, Miami, according to Preply, is the rudest city in the United States. Amber and Ian is never rude. They come your way next. For Harry Douglas, I'm Freddie Coleman. This has been Freddie and Harry on the mighty ESPN Radio. Take care. God bless. And as always, don't be rude.
Keep the can.
Thanks for listening to the Freddie and Harry podcast on ESPN Radio.
You can also listen to Freddie and Harry live weekdays from 3 to 7 Eastern on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and on Sirius XM Channel 80. You can also watch and listen on the ESPN app. The Freddie and Harry Podcast.